From the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Let's all bow in prayer together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the cleansing power in the blood of the Lamb. I thank you, Lord, that it's fit to cleanse away every sin, every stain. I bless thee, Lord, for its power to pacify the conscience and give assurance of sins forgiven and of hope in heaven. We thank you, Lord, for that precious blood of the Lamb. We thank you, Lord, for the truth of the Scriptures. Thank you, Lord, for the foundational truth of God's Word. Help us to stand firm upon it. Help us to grasp it by faith with both hands and claim every one of the promises in it. Lord, we thank you for the Word of truth, and we pray that thy Holy Spirit will come this evening and will enable us to worship thee. Lord, we're so conscious of our need of thee as we meet together. We dare not embark on this endeavor in the strength of the flesh, but we pray that we'll be empowered by thy Holy Spirit. And we pray especially for the Reverend Abernethy as he comes to open the Word of God. We pray that you'll bless him richly. We pray, Lord, that you'll enable him and then fill him with thy Holy Spirit. Give him great liberty. And we pray that you'll apply the Word directly to hearts. Write your Word upon the heart to great effect, to saving effect, Lord, and to strengthening effect. Lord, that it would strengthen our faith. We know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. And I pray you'll bless our brother as he comes and breaks the bread of life, and that we'll have a teachable spirit, an obedient heart, and hands and feet that will run and act to do thy will. So bless us in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. The reading is from the book of Revelation, the chapter 5. And we begin at the opening verse of the chapter and read down to the 12th verse. So Revelation chapter 5. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven nor on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood, by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Amen. This is the word of the Lord, and we know the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word. We'll turn to that wonderful hymn, "Immortal Honors Rest on Jesus' Head."
Thank you. it's my privilege to be with you today. We trust that God will bless us as we meet for a little while around His Word. I want to draw your attention to a little phrase found in verse 12 of the portion of Scripture that we read together. And it's that little phrase, "Worthy is the Lamb." Worthy is the Lamb. And I want to preach to you on heaven's view or heaven's estimation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 5 is a heavenly scene or a heavenly vision. It's one of the great prophetic visions that John was given while imprisoned on the Isle of Patmos. And as part of that vision, John saw the Lord God sitting upon the throne in heaven. He had a book in his hand. That book was sealed. It was sealed shut or closed with seven seals. And the Bible tells us in this chapter that no man in heaven, nor on earth, nor under the earth was worthy to open the book and unseal it. This troubled John. But at that moment in time, as John was troubled and concerned, the Lord Jesus stepped forth and took the book to open it. He loosed the seals. And we read of that portion where he loosed the seals from the book. Or rather, you read of that in the next chapter that follows, chapter 6. And at that point, when the Lord Jesus Christ was unsealing the book, it was then that the four living creatures and the 24 elders were joined by the host of heaven. And they proclaimed in verse 9, "Worthy is the Lamb. Thou art worthy." And there you have heaven's view or heaven's estimation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is worthy to receive honor and power, riches, wisdom, strength, glory and blessing. He is worthy. What a difference between heaven's view of Christ and the world's estimation of Christ. The Lord Jesus said in John 15 and 25, speaking of the world, "They hated me without a cause." The world hates Christ, hates his laws, hates his ways, hates his gospel. In Isaiah 53 and verse 2, we read these words prophetically of Christ. "He is despised and rejected of men." The world despises Christ and rejects Christ. But to the Christian and to those in heaven, they can say, "Worthy is the Lamb." And I want just to set a number of things before you in relation to the worthiness of Christ. I want you to firstly think of the reason for his worth. Why is the Lord Jesus Christ worthy of honor and praise and glory and blessing and power? Well, we could mention many reasons. In fact, there are various reasons mentioned in the vision. Chapter 4 of Revelation is part of the same vision as chapter 5. And in verse 11 of chapter 4, we read those words, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were made." We could say he is worthy because he is the creator. The Lord Jesus Christ created all things out of nothing. In John chapter 1 verses 1 to 3 we read that Jesus Christ is the Word. We're told in verse 3 of that passage, "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Because he is the creator and the sustainer of all, he is worthy of all his creatures' honor and glory. Yes, he's worthy because he is the creator. But if you look at chapter 5 and verse 6, you will see that he is worthy because he is the ruler. We read that John looked, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb. There in heaven, he's in the midst of the throne. The Bible teaches us that when he ascended into heaven, he sat down on his Father's throne at the right hand of God. And there he rules and he reigns as a sovereign King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Because he is the ruler of all, the sovereign God of heaven and earth, he is worthy to be praised and worshipped and honored. Yes, he's worthy because he is the creator and the ruler. But I say without contradiction, the chief reason that Jesus Christ is worthy is because he is the Redeemer. You'll see it mentioned in verses 9 and verse 12. Verse 9, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Verse 12, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. It was the Lord Jesus Christ who, being the eternal Son of God, he became man. He became man in order that he might redeem the fallen sons of Adam's race. Men and women, he redeemed sinners by his death on the cross. He was slain. He was put to death. He was scourged. He was beaten. He was nailed to the cross. And he shed his blood as a sacrifice for our sins, to become the sin bearer, to pay our debt, to take our punishment. Thereby he has provided redemption, deliverance from sin for all who will receive him in faith and repentance. I tell you, we were on the road to hell. Our sins separated us from God. But by the shedding of Christ's blood, he has redeemed us unto himself. And therefore I say to every Christian, he is worthy of your honor, your praise, and all of your glory. Let me also say, if you're not a Christian, if you're not saved from your sins, then it is only by the shedding of Christ's blood. It is only by his sacrifice on the cross. It is only by the redemption that is in Christ Jesus that you can ever have your sins forgiven. You can ever be made right with God. You can ever be made ready for the great eternity and be ushered into heaven when your life on earth is over. There's no other way. No other way of peace with God. No other way to heaven. But by the shedding of Christ's blood at Calvary, he is worthy because he is the Redeemer, the only Redeemer of sinners. But then, let me draw your attention, secondly, to the response to his worth. You see, the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lamb in the midst of heaven, the fact that he is worthy of all honor and praise and glory, it drew a response. Whenever these words were spoken or sung in heaven, within the vision that John saw, they drew a response from those in heaven. And it should also draw the same response from those who are redeemed on earth. If you look at verse 8, you will see the first part of this response, there was submission. It tells us, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. They fell down before him. Now that falling down, it wasn't an emotionalism. No, the sense of those words would convey to us the idea of a reverence, that they were bowing in reverence before the Lord. The same thought is conveyed in Genesis chapter 18 in the verse 1 when Abram bowed himself toward the ground whenever the Lord came to meet him in the tent door there in the plains of Mamre. Abram bowed himself to the ground, and it was the mark of one being in submission to the Master, to the Lord, to the one who was over him. And so that is the idea here in this heavenly vision. These individuals, they were bowing in submission to the Lord Jesus Christ because he was worthy. And I tell you, the one who counts Christ to be worthy, submits to Him, gives their life over to Him, will not only sing with their lips, but will mean in their heart, King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. They say like Thomas in the upper room, my Lord and my God. Whatsoever He says unto us, we will do. There was submission, but you'll notice in verse 8 and also in verse 9, there was singing. For every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy. You know, the Bible tells us in Psalm 40 that when the Lord saves us from our sin, He brings us up out of the miry clay and out of the horrible pit, and He puts a new song in our hearts. Once we sang the song of the world, once we sang the songs of this age, but when the Lord saved us, He put a new song in our heart, even praise unto our God. And I tell you, part of worship is singing unto the Lord. The psalmist said in Psalm 100, come before His presence with singing. Dear Christian friend, the Lord wants you to sing praise unto Him. And may that be our response to His worthiness. There was submission and there was singing. But then there was also supplication. Because in verse 8 we're told that they had vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Oh, there's something of a mystery about this. How the living creatures, they had the vials full of odors, the prayers of the saints. The Bible would indicate to us that our prayers are presented to God through Christ. And I point out to you here that heaven knows what the saints are praying about on earth. Never be discouraged. You think your prayer isn't heard by God? It's not only heard by God, but it's known by the redeemed in heaven. And it's presented to Christ and through Christ to the Lord, to His Heavenly Father. And all the response of those that esteem Christ worthy was to come before Him with the prayers of the saints. Shouldn't that be our response, we who are the saints of the Lord on the earth? We should submit our lives to Him. Say like the Apostle Paul, what wilt thou have me to do? We should sing praise unto the Lord day by day, and particularly in our assemblies when we come together to worship, singing with a joyful, making a joyful noise unto the Lord, and calling upon Him for all things. Yes, this is the heavenly response, and it should be the response of the saints on earth to the worthiness of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then finally, I want you to notice the recognition of His worth. Not only the reason and the response, but the recognition of His worth. You see, the Bible teaches us that one day all creation will recognize the worthiness of Jesus Christ. We now sing, our Lord is now rejected, and by the world disowned, by the many still neglected, and by the few enthroned. But I tell you, we can sing the chorus as well, the crowning day is coming, by and by, soon He'll come in glory. The Bible tells us in that day that creation will rejoice. Psalm 96 verse 11, let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. For He cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world in righteousness. The psalmist said in Psalm 72, and it's the verse 17, that in that day all nations shall call Him blessed, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that He is Lord. Yes, there's coming a day all creation will recognize the worthiness of Christ. Have you bowed the knee to Him? Have you repented of your sin? Have you trusted in Him to take away your sins and make you right with God? For that is how in this time you can respond to His worthiness and acknowledge Him as the only God, the only Saviour, and give your life over to Him. He is worthy. Do you count Him worthy? Or do you despise and reject Him? I trust that like the great innumerable host in heaven, you'll be able to sing of a truth from your heart. Worthy is the Lamb. Let us unite our hearts together in prayer as we close. Our Father in heaven, we give Thee thanks for the person and for the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You that He was slain on Calvary's cross so that sinful, rebellious men and women could be redeemed. And we thank You, Lord, that through faith in Christ, we have experienced that redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we ask that many others would come to value the Lord Jesus Christ as the only Redeemer of men. And the one who is the greatest gift and the greatest blessing anyone can ever receive. Bless Thy word to all of our hearts. And may men and women cry of a truth. Worthy is the Lamb. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv.